Good morning and welcome to our service as we continue to bask in the Easter glow of Jesus' resurrection from the grave. We begin our service with a prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, you despise nothing you have made and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing our first hymn, O Sons and Daughters of the King, hymn 470. Please stand. We continue our service with a liturgy in the middle of page 3 in the bulletin. And we conduct this service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in his infinite mercy of our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying to God, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and gives them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. O God, by the humiliation of your Son, You lifted up this fallen world from the despair of death. By his resurrection to life, grant your faithful people gladness of heart and the hope of eternal joys through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading from Scripture is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 to 22, where we see the power of God to convert wretched sinners who oppose and rebel God, rebel against Him. Here is a case where God converted a man named Saul, who was leading the way and persecuting the Christian church, converted him to a Saul who led the efforts of spreading the gospel of Christ throughout the world. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Rise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Then the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, "Ananias," he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. And so when he had received food, he was strengthened. And Saul spent some days with the disciples of Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who call on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" And Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is taken from Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 14. Glory to you, O Lord. Here we find John receiving a vision, a glorious vision of those in heaven and those on earth praising the risen Lord Jesus. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please stand. We join in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 8. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the next hymn, I Am Content, which should read 468. I Am Content. Please stand for the reading of the sermon text. Grace, mercy, and peace be given to you from the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those words of our Lord that we read this morning and consider is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, also the Sea of Galilee. And in this way he showed himself: Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And so they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So far, text. Please be seated. In the name of the crucified and risen and ever-living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. On Easter Sunday morning, an angel came and rolled away that heavy stone that lay in front of the tomb where Jesus had been laid. And he approached the women who had come there, and he gave them the good news why the tomb was empty. It was because Jesus had risen back to life. Then he instructed them to bring this good news to the disciples in Jerusalem and tell them, "Go to Galilee, because Jesus is going to appear to you there." As the women made their way back to the city of Jerusalem, Jesus appeared to them. And they heard the instruction, this time from Jesus, "Tell the disciples to go to Galilee, and I will appear to them there." Now we know that Jesus showed himself alive to his disciples a number of times before that Galilean encounter. Why then was there a special instruction to go to Galilee? Since Peter was singled out as one to especially be told of his appearance, well, we can conclude by this that he needed to hear Jesus tell him that he was restored to his apostolic office, which he had forfeited due to his threefold denial of Jesus. In addition to this, the Galilean appearance had special significance to all of his disciples, including you and me. While the disciples waited for Jesus to appear to them in Galilee, Peter said, "I'm going to go fishing. Why waste the time? Let's go and fish." And the others went along with him. Now, this wasn't one of those sporting kind of fishing, you know, you just catch a mesh of fish and bring it back for a meal. They went out like they did before when they were commercial fishermen. They went with huge nets. And so they went out. And they were very experienced at fishing in Galilee. They knew the right time and the right place to go fishing. And that was in the shallows. The water was not so deep. And it was in the evening hours. That was the best time for catching fish. But after fishing all night long, they came up empty. No fish. Off on the shoreline, there was a distant person. They didn't quite recognize who it was to begin with, but this person spoke with a power and authority, and he inquired of them, "Do you have any fish that we can have for breakfast?" And they said, "No, we didn't catch a single fish." After hearing the results, Jesus said, "Now you take your nets and you throw them out into the sea on the right side of the boat, and you will be sure to catch fish." And lo and behold, their net was full of large fish. There was so much in the net they couldn't bring it into the boat. They had to haul the net that was in the water up to the shore. In response to this extraordinary catch of fish, which came at the direction of that person on shore, John said, "It's the Lord." And when Peter heard that, he just jumped into the water and he swam to shore because he wanted to see Jesus. This miraculous catch of fish no doubt reminded them of the first time that Jesus did this. This was at the beginning of his ministry when he enabled them to have a miraculous catch of fish. And then he said, "Now I'm going to make you fishers of men. You're not going to be catching these little things anymore. You're going to be catching people." This miracle, like all the miracles of Jesus, revealed his glory as God. And in this case, it served as a testimony to his disciples that he's alive. He's a living Lord and Savior. This blessed truth cannot be emphasized enough. For to know that Jesus has risen back to life from the grave, he showed he's the Lord, who alone could bear all the sins of the world on his shoulders and pay the full price in atonement for all our many sins. Only the Lord could conquer sin, death, and the devil in order to give us life and immortality. Do you know what immortality is, boys? What does it mean to be immortal? It means you can live forever, never die again. The devil knows full well how important the teaching of Christ's bodily resurrection from the grave is. And he knows that this is what gives us peace and comfort and the knowledge of God's forgiveness through Jesus, the living Savior, and the sure and certain hope of eternal life in heaven. The devil knows this. This teaching, this bodily resurrection of Jesus, is critical to our Christian faith. And so he uses his human agents here on earth to try to raise questions and doubts as to whether or not Jesus really rose from the dead. Well, one example of what they tried to pull on us, to pull the wool over our eyes, is an account that said that they found a crypt, a burial box, with bones in it. And on the outside of the crypt is inscribed, "Jesus, Mary, and a youth." Well, Jesus appeared to them alive to show that his body is not lying in a grave somewhere. No. And he made doubly sure that the people knew that he was alive because he appeared to hundreds of people who saw them with their own eyes to give them proof he is the living Savior. And this miraculous fix, a catch of fish, is one of those undeniable proofs that gives evidence of Jesus being the living Lord. With Jesus' redemptive work being fully completed, Jesus used the time remaining before he would ascend into heaven to prepare his disciples for the important work of being fishers of men, gathering precious souls into his kingdom. And the miraculous catch of fish is kind of like a symbolic picture, reminding the disciples then and now of the power of the gracious hand of the Lord at work in giving the increase of bringing people into his kingdom. The fruitless efforts of the disciples fishing all night long on their own calls to mind how vain and foolish it is for us, or any of us, to rely upon our own efforts, our own devices, in making disciples of all nations. And yet, what do we find happening in modern-day churches? We hear of slick promotional programs, the use of marketing devices, and the development of religious packages that don't say anything about the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. They figured, well, if we could use this fancy kind of ways, we're going to gather people into our churches. What does the Lord say about doing this important work of being fishers of men? He gives us a command, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Even as he told the disciples to cast the net onto the right side of the boat, and he brought in a huge catch of fish, so also he tells us, now you cast the gospel into all the world, and I will bring in precious souls into the kingdom. I'm the one who's going to give them faith. He will bless the efforts of gathering precious souls. Well, the gospel of Christ is not appealing to the unconverted man. It's to the worldly wise, it's foolishness. It's nonsense. To those who are looking for signs, it's a stumbling block. But Scripture says the gospel is the power of God and a salvation for everyone who believes. The power is in the Word. Through the simple gospel message cast out into the world, the Spirit of God lovingly casts that bright light into sin-blind eyes. And it opens people's eyes and their hearts to believe what Isaiah recorded the Lord saying, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. Another important lesson that can be drawn from the miraculous act of catching all those fish at the Sea of Tiberias is the Lord's power and faithfulness of providing for his servants of the Word and his kingdom. Now, in the miracle catch, Scripture says that they caught 153 fish. These were not little immature fish. The Scripture says these were large fish. And it was not just intended for them to have a good big fish fry. No, they could take the fish to the market, and they could bring in a lot of money from all those fish. Now the apostles were just about ready to start their ministry, full-time ministry, and they were no longer catching fish. They needed support. And so they could take those fish to market and they could bring home a sizable amount of money that would support them in their ministry. Not only did the Lord supply the disciples with the financial resources through the miraculous catch, but when they came to shore, he had breakfast ready for them. Fish on hot coals and included bread. Now, we're not told in Scripture how this came about. It doesn't say whether Jesus went fishing. He could have used his power, his divine power, to do it. We're just not told. But he had enough to satisfy the disciples for what they needed to eat. These mighty acts by the Lord Jesus are a clear demonstration of his power and faithfulness to provide for his church all the church's need to carry on the work on the earth. As the Lord tells us in Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. The Lord's going to take care of that. Just like he feeds the birds of the air and clothes the flowers of the field, so we confidently trust that he will most certainly see to it that the church has what it needs to carry on the work of the kingdom. Now, the Lord could do this in a supernatural, miraculous way anytime he sees fit to do so. He most commonly provides for his church by blessing the hearers of the word with financial means and resources which they can use to support the work of the kingdom. Mindful of this, we must confess that we haven't always given to the church as according to what we've been blessed. And when we are mindful of that, we bow our head and we ask the Lord to forgive us for Jesus' sake, and also to help us to realize, now, God has blessed me with this much, and I can do more in providing for God's kingdom, if that's possible. In our congregation, as well as in our synod, we are very much aware of the need for the Lord to bless our fellowship with adequate financial support. This past week, various boards of our synod met in Eau Claire to discuss the important matter in our joint church work, such as budget matters, considering how they could spend the money to do mission work. Just as the disciples at the Sea of Galilee witnessed the power and the faithfulness of the Lord in supplying their needs for the kingdom, so also we look to the Lord to do the same in our kingdom work. May he give us faith in his continued blessings so that we never sell the Lord short in what he can do for us, or be fearful in taking bold steps in doing what's necessary for the good and the advancement of his kingdom. Praise be to Jesus for revealing his glory as the living Lord through his resurrection appearances and his miraculous acts at the Sea of Galilee, thus assuring us we have a Savior who lives to cleanse us of our sins and give us eternal life. May God help us to remember the important lessons in being fishers of men, that our work is just to cast the net of the gospel out into the world, and it's the Lord's work to bring people to faith and to his kingdom. Finally, pray the Lord would continue to pour out his bountiful blessings on us and move our hearts by his redeeming love to meet the needs of his kingdom for the sake of precious souls that Jesus died to save. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please remain standing for the prayer. O risen Savior Jesus Christ, we are deeply troubled because of our sins. They are without number and grievous, filling our consciences with fear and our souls with dread. Because of them, we deserve nothing but God's wrath. And yet we can and do lift up our hearts, for we have you as our kind and merciful Savior, our heavenly friend, who gave his life in the cross for our sins. But you also rose again according to the Scriptures, and as our ever-living Lord, you give us rich blessings. We rejoice that through the Holy Spirit, you have called us to faith, clothing us with the garments of salvation, and arraying us in a robe of righteousness. We rejoice that you now live in us through the Holy Spirit, empowering us to do good works to your glory. We rejoice that our prayers are heard and answered at God's throne, where you intercede in our behalf. We rejoice that you're even now preparing a place in heaven for us, that you will soon come to raise the dead and take us to yourself. This hope buoys up our spirits, robs death of its sting, and helps us bear with patience the troubles that so often beset us. And when loneliness could easily turn into despair, we are reminded to rejoice instead, for we have your promise to be with us, even to the end of the world. All these blessings and many more you give to us because you conquered sin and rose again. O crucified and risen Savior, for all our sins, all our sorrows, wants, and cares, you have prescribed the perfect remedy. You have invited us to come to you for rest. What joy, therefore, is ours in believing. May we never forfeit that joy because of our unbelief. Through the Holy Spirit, keep us fully committed to your word of truth, that by it our trust in you may deepen and our appreciation of your love may grow. Enable us also by the Spirit to serve you with a full Christian life. Joyfully we praise your holy name, O blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, I Am Trusting Thee, Lord Jesus. Please stand. Our communion liturgy continues on page 13 at the top. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. We give you thanks, O Lord our God, for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. In his name we pray, as we now join in the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Those communicant members that wish to receive the Lord's Supper where they are seated, please first take the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now take the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Now those who wish to receive the Lord's Supper at the Lord's altar, please Please come forward under the direction of the usher. Please stand. We continue with the singing of the Nunc Dimittis. Receive with believing hearts the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We conclude our service with the singing of the final hymn. Please be seated. Good morning. After the service today, the choir will be practicing for the hymn, the piece that they'll be singing for next Sunday. Please take note that the school children of our school will have their run-a-thon on the 9th of this week. Calendars for May are available. Always please take note. Do you have any used phones that are just lying around doing nothing? If you do, if you please bring them to church, and I will take them to Eau Claire, where a missionary, Nauman, will take them to Tanzania for his students to use. So if you got any used ones lying around, just bring them to church, and I'll take care of it. And also the letter from Pastor Gant, to whom we had extended a call to be our pastor. Dear members of St. Stephen Lutheran Church in Mountain View, California, and fellow saints of God, it is never an easy thing to tell any group of Christians I can't serve you, whether it be the ones I am currently serving or the ones that have requested that I serve them. Such a decision comes with many tears and much personal grief. I could wish to serve them all, but God has appointed only clay pot to this ministry, and clay pots can only be set in one location at a time and dispense his water of life to those in that location. After prayerful consideration, the call which you extended to me to serve as the under-shepherd of Christ among you, I'm convinced that it is God's will that I should not accept it and should continue serving where he has me currently serving in the part of his vineyard that is Zion Lutheran Church in Loganville, Georgia. Going forward, it will be my constant prayer that God provide you the servant of his choosing, of which I am confident, since he is faithful, since he has entrusted to his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the authority to give apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers to equip the saint for the work of ministry for the edifying of that body of Christ. Peace be to you all in his name, Pastor Frank Gant. I should note that the church council will be meeting in 2 weeks on Sunday, and they'll be considering our plans going forward. At that meeting, they'll also be considering finances of our congregation and the church budget. So it will be an important meeting. You can offer, I think it's two Sundays, isn't it? Not next Sunday, but the following Sunday. But do remember the church council in your prayers as they consider these important matters. Also want to report to you that Pastor John Hine, who was hospitalized in the Twin Cities in Minnesota, being treated for related problems to cancer, that he was able to return home yesterday. So we thank the Lord for that. And may God in his grace be with you always.